Well, this morning we have the privilege of Reverend Matthew Eswine filling the pulpit at Grace. As we've already said this morning, Matt is the Reformed University Fellowship Minister at the University of Arizona in Tucson. And so thank you for bringing the word to us this morning, and we're eager to hear whatever it is the Lord has put on your heart.
Well, thank you, Nathan, and thank you, Grace, for your warm welcome here. It is a delight to be here, and we just drove in from Tucson this morning, and a beautiful drive. I think, you know, I grew up in Southern California. We most recently have been in Northern California, and so there is something about the desert landscape, the mountains. It has its own beauty that we are growing to love and appreciate. And my wife, Sarah, our three girls are here, and you'll hear a little bit more about this, but just this past week, we drove back from Southern California, and if there's one thing to make you weary in life, I know there are many, a seven-hour drive with three girls in the car is one of those that's there. But before we dig into the text, just wanted to say, just share a bit about what's happening with RUF. Reformed University, RUF, is the campus ministry of the Presbyterian Church in America, and we are serving at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Our family went to the basketball game yesterday, which was sad. The University of Arizona had won 28, I think, games in a row at home, and their first game was a loss there. I'm not going to blame it on us, but, it is a disappointment there. But the reason why the ministry of sending an ordained pastor to the university campus is vital, let me just tell you some of the reasons why. There are people from around the world at the university. There are students of all different backgrounds, all different religions, all different ethnicities gathered together at one place. And if there's a spot where you can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can proclaim the hope that we have and have influence upon all those different people in those different areas that will then go who knows where. It is a great, vital ministry for us. And I've just stepped into this in July. I moved here. We came across Northern California, bought a house, moved into the house the first week of classes. We're tabling all sorts of madness, getting our girls. Our oldest started a new school. So it's been a whirlwind. I'm still looking forward to this upcoming semester, having been here, having a sense of what's going on. But really excited for the ways that I've seen God at work there in the students. And also for the vision that our vision is to reach students and equip them to serve. But our goal is not just for their 4 years there at the university. It is that we might share the gospel, convert people, but also raise up leaders to go into the church of all different vocations that will serve God as they serve in the medical field, as they serve as engineers, they serve in the military. Wherever they go, they'll be faithful followers of Christ, proclaiming his excellencies, living out his love. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the support of this church in that of your financial support, your prayer support. And if you would like to talk more with me afterwards, I'd love to connect with you. We have prayer cards I can give you within that, and you can sign up for our prayer update list as well. But let me go ahead and read the word for you from Matthew 11, 25 through 30, and then we will pray and talk about it some more. So hear now the word of the Lord, beginning in Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you that you are near to us. God, that you knew our need and you sent your Son to come. That we have just celebrated in Christmas and your incarnation. And Lord, we thank you this morning that we are invited to come to you in the midst of our weariness, in the midst of our burdens, in the midst of our pains, in the midst of our struggles, even in this first week of the new year. that you invite us to come, that we might experience your rest. Lord, we taste of that rest this morning. Lord, we look to rest from you alone and not from other sources to provide for us. And Lord, would you speak to us by your Spirit, through your word, that we might be empowered and encouraged to live lives faithfully following after you this week and this year. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you talk to somebody on the college campus, often some of the first words you hear is, "How are you doing?" And they say, "I'm tired. I'm worn out. I've got this project due. I've got this assignment, this test, this group thing going on, and I'm just exhausted by the amount of work on my table." And the good news I tell the students is that, you know what? After the 4 years of college, this weariness, this tiredness is over. Life just slows down, right? Don't we wish that was the case, right? As I have been present with people from our church, as I have seen in my own life, I thought that was true. And one of the words of encouragement that one of the elders when I was a college student said is, "Matt, you know what? The breaks that you have between semesters in college are probably the most restful, the least amount of pressure upon you of your life." And did I believe that was true? No, not then. But now do I believe that is true? Absolutely. Right? And if we're just thinking about our lives each and every day, we have so much going on. And as a student, it's very much tied to your academic work. Many students have jobs as well, and they're dealing with families and all those challenges. But those things don't slow down once you graduate. They only further compound and further grow. And so for you guys, you're coming in this morning, we're, January 8th today? 8 days into the new year, and oftentimes people have the words of, "All right, new year, new you, new resolutions, here are the things I'm going to change." And if you're anything like me, we were traveling this past week, so we, on January 1st, we're at my wife Sarah, her mom's house. January 2nd, we went to the Rose Parade, which is really beautiful and fun. January 3rd, we drove back from Southern California here, and it was just an exhausting drive, right? You know, you ride, and I have the easy job of driving the car, and my wife is in the side trying to pass back snacks, trying to keep kids from pulling each other's hair, all these things going on, and it's just an exhausting time for us. And I think for each of us this week, as we look at our desires for the year of, here are the things that I want to change, here are the things that I want to continue on, here's who I want to be, it can feel like there is an overwhelming burden upon you. There is a sense of weariness of, man, I just cannot do enough to change myself. And the invitation that comes from this text is for us to come to Jesus to experience his rest, to put his yoke upon, to be removed from our burdens, our labors, and to come to him. And the question I want to begin with is, this seems like a relatively simple invitation, right? Man, I feel like I'm tired. I feel like I'm exhausted. I feel like there is too much weight upon my shoulders and trying to prove myself and trying to work harder, to be better, to do more. But what is it that keeps us in the midst of our burdens from coming to Jesus? What keeps us from being in the midst of our weariness, not just running to his arms and saying, I trust you? And I think there are two main things that keep us from running to the Lord. I think the first is that we have a misplaced view of ourselves. We don't see ourselves right. We might think on one hand that, man, I have failed too much. I have struggled too far. I have sinned too big. If I come to Jesus, he's only going to look down upon me. He's not going to be able to love me or care for me. If he really knows who I am, I'm not going to experience rest. I'm going to experience judgment or something else. On the other hand, we can think of ourselves that, you know what? By my own strength, by my own power, by my own intellect, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to work harder than anybody else and do better. And that way I can earn the love of Jesus. I can earn the rest that comes from him. So first, we have this misplaced view of ourselves that keeps us from running Jesus. I think the other side of that is we have a misplaced view of who Jesus is. We don't see him for who he really is. And one of the authors that influenced me a lot in my college years and beyond was that of A.W. Tozer. And one of his lines is that the most important thing about you is what comes to mind when you think about God. What comes to mind when you think about God? And if our perspective, in the midst, again, of our weariness, of our failures, of our burden, is that Jesus is going to be looking sternly down upon us, saying, yeah, Matt, you could have done a lot better in that situation. You did not do enough. If our view is, well, you had a lot of potential, but you failed again, we are not going to be the kind of people who run to him in the midst of that. If we feel like he is distant, if he is far away, that his desires, his capacity is beyond us, that he doesn't really care about us, we will not run to him in the midst of our weariness, of our burdens. If we also think that, yeah, God, you've done a lot, but I'm not sure that you can really help me, that'll keep us from coming to him. But what I want you to see in the midst of this text is neither of those are what is there. Who are we in this text? We are invited to be children coming before our Lord and Savior. Did you catch those words early on in the text that Jesus had just been proclaiming woe to unrepentant sinners, unrepentant cities who had not turned to him? And he is praising God, saying, thank you, Lord, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. And I could go on and on about the things I have learned from my little children over these last 7 years of parenting. And I think every one of you who has kids of your own or has kids that you loved and cared for or remember your childhood, you know the sense of dependence, of neediness that kids have. You know the sense that when a kid experiences trust in an adult, in a parent, in a father, they willingly run to them in the midst of their struggles and their trials. They willingly put their hope and their trust in this person. And our response to our weariness, to our burdenness, in the midst of our trials and our tears, needs to be one of running like a child into the arms of our Lord and Savior, to seeing what he has done for us, to no longer thinking, I have failed too much, or I am too strong, I know too much, but rather to run to the one who is our Lord, who is our Savior, to the one who can provide us rest. And so we're to come to him as little children, according to the gracious will of our Father. And one more thing that you'll note within these opening words is each of us is responsible for coming to the Lord in the midst of what he has shown to us. But what we see in this as well is that the Father is ultimately sovereign in bringing us to himself. And so it is not about us figuring everything out and thinking, I'm not sure if this is true, but rather saying, Lord, I trust that what you have revealed to me is true. I trust that you are good, and I am going to run to you in the midst of my weariness, in the midst of my pains, in the midst of my sorrows. So we are to come to the Lord as children. And one of the, I attended Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, and one of the professors there, Jerome Bars, is part of the Francis Schaeffer Institute. And he's just a great apologist, evangelist. And one of the lines that he always said in reference to us as human beings is that we are each glorious ruins. Glorious ruins. And I'm not sure if this is familiar to you guys, but when you go around various places, I'm trying to think of the most recent glorious ruins that I have seen. But you see things like the Alamo that's there. You see these pictures. We went through Chiriaco Summit, these various old military bases that have now become ruins, and they no longer bear the glory that was there. And each one of us as humans, we're created in the image of God with dignity, with beauty. I just started a read through the Bible thing this year, and it amazes me when I read Genesis 1 and 2 how incredible it was for Adam and Eve. The beauty, the glory they were created with, of walking with God. But then they sinned. They rebelled against God. They fell, and the ruin of sin influenced them and influences every one of us. We no longer are fully who we were originally created to be. We no longer fully represent God. And yet, in the midst of our glory, in the midst of our ruin, we are invited to come to Jesus. So we're invited to come as children to Jesus. And so that's a correct view of who we are as children, as those who are image bearers but are broken with sin, corrects that side of things. But this other part of who God is, of who Jesus is, we also need to take a look at. And do you see these words of the heart of Christ, the heart of Jesus, that are shown here? It begins with a picture of Jesus who thanks and praises God for the work of his will. And these are incredible words from Jesus right here, right? Because he knows the path that it's going to take for him to take on the yoke that should have been upon us is going to take him to the cross. And yet he is thanking and praising God that he is saving his children, that the Father has handed over to him the calling of what is there. And in the midst of this, another thing that is evident in this text that we've just celebrated with Christmas is that the heart of Jesus is not to stay distant from his people in the midst of their pains and their sorrows, but rather to come near, to come down to their level, and then to invite others to come to him as he has already pursued reaching out to them. He is not distant, but rather near to us. And he came not only to be near to us, but to save us, and even more so that he sent his Spirit to live inside of us. And I think this hits on just one of the greatest felt needs of our day, right? Don't we long for people to be near to us? Don't we long for community? Don't we long for our loneliness to be removed, to be taken away from us? And what the God of the universe did is he sent his Son Jesus to come to be near to us, to come to invite us to him, to experience his loving arms, to see that he is not angry looking down upon us in our sin, although his desire is for us to live holy lives, his desire is for us to continue to put sin to death, but rather his invitation is to come, to experience his love, his grace, his forgiveness, to come, to take his yoke upon him, that we might experience true rest for his soul, for our souls. And one of the lines that I love, a book that has been influential for me over these last couple years, I think especially through COVID and beyond, is that of Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. And Dane Ortlund, another pastor, he says these words that your depletion, your exhaustion, your fear, your anxiety are not a problem for Christ. Don't we often feel that way, right? My anxiety, my exhaustion, my fears. But rather, it is irresistible to him. It is irresistible to Jesus. When we willingly come to the Lord in the midst of our anxiety, our fears, our struggles, our pains, our impatience, he delights to come near to us. When we think, I have failed too much, I have gone too far, I am no longer worthy to be loved, he delights to step in, to be near, to be tender, open, welcoming, accommodating to us. And I think this is just vital for us to remember. In our culture today, I think there are many narratives that are going on, but I think there are two that we struggle with. One is that of the hustle culture. You've got to keep on going. Again, as I mentioned earlier, do more, better, faster. Okay, you know what? You graduated from whatever program you're a part of. Now you got to get a job. Now you got to work for a promotion. You've got to try to find a house, get married, have kids, get your own success going, but then also make sure your kids are successful while also becoming an Instagram influencer and doing these other things over there and making your yard look beautiful. And it is an overwhelming pressure that each of us face, right? The American dream. Come on. You can do it. Work harder. Do more. I did it. You can do it too. The other side of that is, I've seen where that's gotten other people, that hustle culture. It's real about comfort. I just want to be able to sit down in my room, pull out my phone, turn on Netflix, play my game, do my thing, and I don't want to have to worry about anything else. I don't have to work at all. I'm just going to be comfortable. And people might say, it's like, oh, I need self-care. I need rest. Either of these poles are not helpful to us. We can never do enough. We can never work hard enough, get far enough. It will never satisfy us. The rest, the comfort we seek from disengaging isn't really satisfying either. Man, I remember days both in college and grad school where I would take a day, much like, you know, this past Saturday, New Year's Eve, and watch college football all day. There's nothing wrong with college football. I went to a basketball game yesterday. But there's something about sitting down in front of a screen all day that is very disembodying, right? I just felt one of my good friends and I were just thinking, man, I feel like such a slugger. You know, I've just got to do something physically active. And this thing I was looking to, like, oh, this will be such a restful, relaxing, restorative thing. And it is to some respect, but it's not ultimately what I was made for. It doesn't ultimately satisfy my heart. And so we're caught between these desires of hustle and comfort. And the invitation here is not to work harder, is not to disengage, but rather to come to the Lord, to come to Jesus, the one who is our advocate, the one who intercedes for us, the one who loves us, who cares for us, who says these words, "Come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He delights to invite us to come into his arms, to come to experience his rest. It says within my Bible on the next page over that Jesus, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench. Even when it feels like we are beat up, we're broken, we're not able to stand up straight, it does not mean that Jesus does not love us. It means he invites us to come to him in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our failures, that we might experience rest in our restlessness. And I think at this point it's helpful to reflect on the restlessness that I often feel. The restlessness that comes. And the illustration I want to show is that of our golden retriever, Poppy. So we have a 1.5-year-old golden retriever who is a delightful, wonderful dog. And you know, just this morning, while I was got up before the girls got up, had a cup of coffee, was reading the Bible, she just lied down by my feet. It was really a sweet moment. And I think it's helpful for me in the midst of this, because the story I want to share is a different moment in the day. Around 2 or 3 p.m., our golden retriever just starts pacing back and forth inside. Sometimes she'll bark at us, she'll see what's going on. And what she wants to do is she wants to go swim in the pool in the backyard. She really wants to. So I'm like, okay, I'll open the sliding glass door. I'll let her out. Get her to the gate. Open the gate. I'll open the door and let her run out into the water. She'll run. I'll toss. For whatever reason, we have a water polo ball. My wife played water polo in high school. We toss in the water, and she will swim, and go after that ball. And as long as I am outside with her, she's happy. I try and sneak out through the gate, open the door, and hop out. And immediately, she forgets about the ball and starts barking. Coming after me, and then I step back outside, and she's fine. But I step back inside, and she's restless, barking, going crazy. And then, so I'm like, okay, let's get her out of the pool. And I open the gate thinking, all right, she's been swimming for a while, she'll be tired, and the zoomies take over this dog. I open that gate, and she just starts taking off, running one way, the other way, jumping on me, shaking her water all over, and she is just crazy in the midst of all these things that are going on within her. Has anybody else experienced this from their dog or dogs around them? And I get so angry and frustrated with this dog. Come on, Poppy, calm down. And as I reflect upon Poppy, I can't help note the own restlessness that I feel. Do any of you experience this? You come home from work and you begin to think like, okay, it's time for me to, I just want to check out a story on my phone. Or I'm going to see what's going on here in social media. I want to check my email. Oh, no, but I also need to get this chore done over there. And oh, my kids are calling over here. And I am caught between all these different things, kind of running around anxiously. And I am unable to just shut that off. I am in my own zoominess going around between all these different things. And what I think happens is I am caught in a spot where it feels like I have the weight of the world upon my shoulders to get all of these things done. And it didn't help in COVID that we were doom scrolling on our phones and only seeing things electronically, that we are constantly have those things going on in our minds. But the rest that we are invited to will never come through watching that game, through getting that chore done, through these actions that we have. The rest that we long for will not come through, again, through our team winning. It will not come through fixing these things that are wrong with our house, with our lives, with our kids. It ultimately will not satisfy. The only rest that we can truly find is when we come to Jesus and recognize He has finished the work of salvation for us. When we come to Him in the midst of our anxieties over our finances and say, Lord, I trust that You will provide for me. When we come to Him in the midst of our challenges within our marriage or our kids or our friends, we say, Lord, give me rest. Show me that You are for me. You love me. You care for me. No matter how well I do in this, we will only experience rest when we truly come to the Lord like little children, sitting in His lap and thinking, I don't know what to do. But Lord, I trust that You are here, that You will provide, that You will give me what I need. And so this rest that we long for can only be found in Christ. It is the only way that we can stop running around frantically trying to prove ourselves. It is the only way that we can keep ourselves from trying to numb ourselves or trying to watch the latest show, to get caught up on our team or whatever it might be over here. The rest that we so long for can only be found in Christ. We're invited to come to Him to experience what He has done. And what He says is that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And so this terminology of the yoke that is there, very likely you're familiar with it. It was that of put on oxen. Two oxen were yoked together to plow the fields. And when you think about a yoke being put upon you by God, it's probably not the most comforting thing, right? But the yoke that is shared here is one where we are yoking ourselves to Christ. Better said, Christ is yoking Himself to us and saying, I am doing the work for you. This is easy. My yoke is more of a non-yoke to you. Let's go back to the pool. It's like being picked up, thrown a life preserver in the midst of your drowning and suffering, saying, I've got too much to do. I can't handle it all. And the yoke of Jesus is, hold on to me as I am holding on to you and experience my rest. Experience my kindness, my delight in you as you follow after me. His yoke is easy, so different than the yoke of trying to prove ourselves through our lives. And His burden is light. And I can't help but think of the picture of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, where he has this giant backpack on. I enjoy backpacking, at least I did before I had kids. But it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But there was one hike I went on with some good friends, and we had hiked for 4 days on the Buffalo River Trail in northern Arkansas. And at the last day, what did I find? I found a big glass jar of jam. that we had not used at all. And I was angry. It's like, I've been carrying around these pounds of weight for no good reason. And it felt so good to finally take that out. And I think one of the moments that I love within backpacking is when you reach your destination for the day and you unstrap your backpack and you take it off and you are able to just stand up straight. Like, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. And the burden that is being mentioned here, again, the burden that is that Christ is saying is there for us is a burden not of weight upon our shoulders, but rather much more like that of helium balloons tied to you. That unstrapping of that backpack, that releasing of that weight that was upon your back of trying to prove yourself, of trying to do more. It is being taken from us and rather pulling us forward to the Lord. So how do we enter into this rest practically? What does it look like for us in this day? I think one of the things that constantly encourages my heart when I'm willing to take the time to do it is just looking out at creation, looking at what is going on. And one of the things I did not understand about Arizona before moving here is the beauty of the sunsets. And I have been amazed just this past week, I think it was our first or second day back, that the sky turned a glorious pink, orange, glowing fire. And there is something in my heart about seeing the God who created me holds the heavens in his hand, and he is showing his beauty in the sunset and the sunrise each day like a magnet drawing people to himself. And can we as a people not say, Lord, if you can make the skies that beautiful, I trust that you can be at work in the midst of my struggles at work, my struggles at home, my struggles in this day. And not only that, that we serve a God who reveals himself through creation, but we serve a God who works in our lives. That one of the other ways that we can enter into the rest of God is for us to remember his faithfulness to us in our previous trials and pains that we've experienced. Some of the most common words throughout Scripture are, remember, I am the Lord who has delivered you. I remember the salvation I brought, that we can enter into God's rest here and now by remembering how he brought us through those things before and recognizing, I didn't see a way out of it. I didn't see how he was going to work it together, but he did. And enter into his rest. Lord, I trust that if you have been faithful before, you will be faithful now and faithful in the future. It's not upon me. It's not my yoke to bear. It's not my burden to make everything right in my life, in my family, in this city, on this campus. It's not all upon my shoulders. Lord, I trust in you. I think another way for us is just for us to bring our honest selves before the Lord. To say, Lord, I am struggling in this area. Lord, I am having a hard time continuing to trust in your goodness. Lord, would you be at work in my heart? Or Lord, I have prayed for this person for so long and I am weary. Would you be at work? Would you show how you are at work? Would you be near to me? And also just honestly praying to him with our questions, with our thanksgivings, with our just honest reflections of what he has done. Another is just gathering with the people of God to hear, to sing together, to recite what is true, to hear of the Lord's worship. And finally, to just continue to read God's word, the God who has revealed himself to us. As we remind ourselves of what is true about God, that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he not only invites us to come to him, but he, as the Lord and creator of the universe, came to us that he might save us. That is the way that we will experience his rest. And that we can come to him, not as those who have figured it out, but like little children running to their loved parents, like those who are crying or they're rejoicing, whatever emotion that they are running, saying, Daddy, 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 I want to tell you about blank. That's how we can come to the Lord. And when we know and understand his love for us, we can trust that he will wrap his arm around us, that he will hold us near and say, I've got you. You're mine. If your hope is in Jesus, I delight to provide for you. And what a beautiful gift that is what the Lord is inviting us to come to him, to not trust upon ourselves, our own work, anything of our own, but rather to say, Lord, I trust in you. I will come to you in my burdens, in my weariness, in my tiredness, in my restlessness, and I'll experience your peace, your joy, your love, your delight. So would you come to Jesus this morning? Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you that you delight to offer your rest to all who will come to you. Lord, would you help us in the midst of whatever is making us weary this morning to come to you? Lord, would you remind us of your goodness? Lord, would you remind us of our childlikeness? And Lord, would you enable and empower us by your Spirit to run into your arms, knowing that we will find your rest, your love, your peace, and your joy. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.